In our study of the Holy Spirit, we've begun to consider the ongoing, or what we might call the post-salvation work of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. And last week we noted that God has commanded that every Christian, every follower of Jesus Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's very good reason for that command. The filling of the Spirit, I want to suggest to you this morning, is at the very heart of, and it impacts everything that the Spirit is up to in our lives. When I thought about the Holy Spirit and this particular work of His, the filling of the Spirit this week, and three thoughts have come to my mind very powerfully, and then a consequence that follows. The first of these preliminary thoughts is simply that the word Spirit directs us to God's Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and it results in questions coming up in our minds. What does the Spirit, in fact, do in our lives after He has brought us to this point of salvation? What's His role in our lives as Christians? Second thought that comes to my mind is the fact that the words be filled are, as we saw last week, in the imperative or the command form. And that implies that there is a distinct possibility not only that we as Christians can be and should be filled with the Spirit, but there is also the opposite implication that as Christians we may not desire, may not seek, may not be obedient to the command, and it's possible that we may not experience what Scripture calls the Spirit-filled life. It is not an automatic thing in the Christian's life. The third thing that comes to my mind is that the word filled and the counterparts to it, the idea of fullness, experiencing fullness of the Spirit, implies that there are varying degrees to which any of us as Christians may experience this filling. It may be to a greater extent, it may be to a lesser extent. And then there is a serious consequence that comes from these thoughts. In whatever the Spirit is doing, and this is what I hope you'll catch this morning, in whatever the Spirit is involved in doing in the life of a Christian after his salvation, to the degree that the Christian is filled with the Spirit, to that degree we will experience and enjoy the various works of the Spirit in our life. Let me put it in another way. Being filled with the Spirit will maximize our experience of the various workings of the Spirit in our lives, while to the degree that we are not filled with the Spirit, that will hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives. And so this is why I say this morning that the filling of the Spirit is at the very heart of our Christian lives and all that the Spirit wants to do in us, and it impacts everything that the Spirit is wanting to do in our lives today. So the question then becomes for me, and it has been this week, why then should I desire to be filled with the Spirit of God? Well, the most obvious answer to that, of course, is because God commands us to, and it's a matter of obedience, and we know that God blesses obedience. But this morning I want to do something quite different from what I normally do. I want to take you on a whirlwind tour of some of the things that God reveals as the work of His Spirit in the lives of His people. What I've been doing this week is just walking through Scripture, just thinking my way through Scripture and taking out a concordance and looking at the different places that the Spirit shows up in Scripture, Old and New Testament. And I want to just take you on a survey of that. I don't think you're going to learn anything new this morning, but I want you to come away, I want to come away, as I have this week, with a wow. This is absolutely amazing. And I want and I need that fullness of the Spirit, because I want and I need to experience these things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of a Christian. So here we go. Strap in. There's no notes, because your notes would have been almost as long as mine. And I'm not going to ask you to turn to your Bibles, I'm just going to go through one scripture after another. So here we go. The Holy Spirit provides and leads and guides us in number 27, 15 through 18, and I don't think I'm going to give all the references because I have a lot of ground to cover. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Now, why did God want Moses to do that? Simply because the people needed shepherding. They need leadership. They needed guidance. And so God wants to provide that for them. In Psalm 143, the psalmist says, this, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. So the Holy Spirit is involved with providing and leading and guiding. The Holy Spirit equips for a battle. Now, this may seem like it's removed a long way from Judges 6. The Spirit of the Lord, you may remember this, came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and all of these followers came to follow after him in battle. And you say, well, that's a long way removed from us. I mean, I don't remember the last time our elders called together a bunch of men to go out in battle. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is involved with providing or equipping for battle, and we see the same thing in the New Testament as well. It's not a physical battle. In fact, God says in Ephesians 6 that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and these forces of darkness in wicked places and so on. And so we're told as Christians that we need to take up the sword of the Spirit. We're equipped by the Spirit of God to do battle. And we are in a battle all around us, a battle for truth and a battle for morality and for what is right and good. It's not surprising that in Luke 11 that we read that when Christ came and he engaged in spiritual warfare, in these cases very, very overt spiritual warfare against demonic beings, the scripture tells us that he cast out demons, he waged war in the spirit realm by the finger of God or by the Spirit of God. There's two parallel gospel texts. One says by the finger of God, the other says by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is God's finger. It's God's hand at work in spiritual warfare. And I'm probably just going to put this away because I'm not going to even remember where I'm at in there. Another thing the Spirit enables us is to know truth. John 16, when Christ said this, and there's numerous passages in John 16 and 17, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. How many of us need to be guided into truth in life? It's critically important. He equips us to speak truth. 2 Samuel, the author there says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. So he equips us to speak truth. We see it again in Matthew 10. When Christ talks to his disciples, and his disciples are going to, he says, be in places where they're going to be hauled before kings and people in authority. They're going to have to give answer for their faith. They're going to be concerned about how they respond, how they speak truth in the midst of difficult circumstances. And Christ said this, when they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you're to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. It is not you who speak, it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So the Holy Spirit will speak through us. How many of you have ever felt at a loss for word in the midst of a situation where you needed to speak truth? God's Spirit is engaged in that and will be in our lives. He instructs us and he gives us correction. He'll correct us because we get off track sometimes in our lives. In Nehemiah, the prophet there said, you gave your good Spirit to instruct them and you admonished them by your Spirit. We need that. The Spirit of God is actively involved in opening our eyes, in convicting us of sin, in speaking truth into our lives and correcting us. We're equipped and to speak words of correction in the lives of others. 2 Chronicles 24, the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, and he stood above the people and he said to them, now this was not easy. He's calling them to account. Thus God has said, why do you transgress the commands of the Lord and do not prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. How many of us as friends have a friend and we need at times to speak correction or truth into their life? Has that ever happened? How many of us as parents need to speak truth into the lives of our children? And it doesn't end, by the way, when they're 18 and they leave the house. And then they come back over and over and over again sometime. If they're 50 years old, we're still speaking truth into their lives. And God forgive us as parents, as fathers, or mothers, if we are allowing our children to live in a way that's dishonoring to God and we're not correcting them. If we're not taking the uncomfortable step of speaking truth into their life and correcting them, then we are not in a good place before God in terms of honoring Him. So God's Spirit is the one that enables us to speak words of correction. We see it again in Micah 3, where Micah is talking about those who have falsely prophesied. He says, the seers will be ashamed and the diviners will be embarrassed. Indeed, they'll all cover their mouths because there's no answer from God. In other words, they're not equipped to speak for God, to speak truth into situations that it's called for. But Micah says, on the other hand, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord. And with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin. How we desperately need the Spirit to be engaged in our lives to equip us to speak truth into the lives of others, into the lives of our children as well. The Holy Spirit is involved with equipping and enabling us to be effective witnesses for Christ. You're familiar with this, Acts 1:8. You'll receive power, Christ said. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he said this to his disciples in Jerusalem, don't leave Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. You'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. How do we get that? How many of you have ever felt like, here's an opportunity to speak the truth about Jesus Christ into the midst of a marriage that's faltering or into the lives of this family that I know and love and care about, and yet at the same time you found yourself struggling to speak truth? Ever happen? God's Spirit is the one who empowers us to do that. God enables us to be builders. Now you're going to say, well, Exodus 31, that doesn't relate much to us. I have filled him. This is God speaking to about certain people that God was equipping to build the tabernacle, to do this amazing artistic work that would honor God not only by the colors but by the design of these pieces of equipment, worship equipment, if you will, that would be in the tabernacle and so on. He said, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze and in the cutting of stones for settings, in the carving of wood, that he make work in all kinds of craftsmanship. Why? God says, my Spirit will come upon to supernaturally take natural abilities and expand them so that these people can build the tabernacle of God so that it will reflect something of the nature and character and the reality of God himself. You say, well, that's far removed from us. Well, not so much. Ephesians 4, God has given gifts to the body of Christ. Some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. To what? To be builders. How many of you want to be involved in a church where the power of God is evident and moving? How many of you want to be involved in a church? How many of you would like to be where weekly people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ? How many of you would like to be involved in a church where when families come and they're on the edge of brokenness in their marriage and God miraculously heals marriages and relationships with parents and children? All of us. Well, God says that every part of the body is equipped with a spiritual gift to build up the body as each part does what it's supposed to do. God's Spirit wants to be actively engaged in you, if you're a child of God, to help you to be a powerful part of building up the church so that it becomes that kind of church that we've just said we want to be a part of. We are building, and the Spirit equips us to. The Spirit renews our spirits and softens our hearts to walk in obedience. Anybody struggle with disobedience? Anybody struggle with thoughts that go astray or with acts that are not pleasing to God, and we know it and we want to walk in holiness? In Ezekiel we read, moreover, this is a prophetic word from the Old Testament that happened on the day of Pentecost and that now happens every day when a person comes to faith in Christ, the Spirit is given to him. He said, and what happens? What accompanies that Spirit, that indwelling Spirit given to the new believer? I'll give you a new heart. And I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh. We know we have hardness toward the things of God at times. I'll give you a heart of flesh, a heart that's soft and warm and pliable, in other words, to the things of God. I'll put my spirit within you. That's how I'll renew your spirit. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. Powerful work of the Spirit in engaging our hearts to walk in obedience. The Spirit gives us real life. Christ said in John 6, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. How many of you want real life? You know, real life. It comes by the Spirit. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and are life. So how do we get that? The thief comes only to steal and destroy, to kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. How do we have that abundant life? It's the Spirit in us as He lives through us that gives us that real, genuine, satisfying, meaningful life. It's the Spirit that supplies us with boldness. We've all been in situations where we need and want to speak the truth of God boldly, and we find ourselves struggling with what will they think, and will I lose a relationship if I speak into this situation? In Acts 4, when they had prayed, the place they gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And this was in the face, you'll remember, of Peter and John being arrested and jailed for speaking about Christ. And they're let loose out of jail, and they come and they share with these people, look, this is what's going to happen. They've threatened us. They've said, we can't speak in the name of Christ anymore. And they said, that's not going to happen. And so they went to their knees. They got on their faces before God, and they cried out to God. And God's Spirit came and moved, and He gave them incredible boldness to speak truth. It's the Spirit that does that. The Spirit gives us a rich supply of wisdom. In Acts 3, the deacons or the apostles were struggling with some things in the body. They couldn't handle everything, so they appointed deacons. And they said, these men need to have certain qualifications. Select from among you 7 men of good reputation who are full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And the Spirit and the wisdom just seem in Scripture to go hand in hand. These are the kind of people that we'll put in charge of this tax. And so one of them is Stephen. And so later on, as Stephen is preaching a message that he is martyred for, they stone him to death. But it says, as they're listening to him speak, they're unable to cope with the wisdom and the Spirit with which he was speaking. How many of you need wisdom for life? We desperately need it. He gives direction for life and ministry. You remember the story of Philip where he's engaged in successful evangelism and suddenly God says, I want you to go over here. And he literally lifts him up and puts him over there. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. He got up and went. There was an Ethiopian eunuch. The Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. I've experienced times in my life, I'm sure you have too, when the Spirit of God nudges you and says, you need to go do this. You need to act in response to this. The Spirit moves us and gives us direction for life and ministry. We want that. We need that. Sometimes the Spirit reveals things that are beneficial to the body of believers. This, I don't think, happens maybe quite as often, but It does happen in Scripture, and we certainly hear of missionaries that speak of things that happen. I believe that I've seen indications of this at times in a church. One of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit there would be a great famine all over the world. Sometimes God gives information to His people, His church, that they need to know. I remember a time, I'm not going to go into it, but I remember a time when I was driving in the cities, and I was just really mulling over something that was very troubling that was going on in the life of a family and church. And I felt strongly compelled to do something that I had never done since, have not done since, nor had I ever before. I felt compelled to go visit a pastor in the city, and I drove way out of my way to go to him. And I no more than got in the door, and I understood why. Because he got a phone call from a woman who had come out of Satan worship, and she knew the town that I was ministering in Wisconsin and had been engaged with that. I said I wasn't going to tell you all this, and then I am. But God gave insight into this very family and into this very home. And revealed through that phone call that one thing that was happening in that home that was so troubling was that that home had been used, engaged in Satan worship in earlier years. And so, I mean, God can give information that's needed, and He does it through His Spirit. He allows us to go on and be built up in His comfort. In Acts 9, we read the church throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And because those things are true, what happens? It continued to increase. Okay, so the Spirit is engaged in allowing us to go on in such a way as a church that the church can begin to increase and we can enjoy comfort of the Holy Spirit and peace and all of these things. We can be built up. The Holy Spirit allows us to experience fullness of joy. In Acts 13, the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That may not seem like a huge thing, but if you read the context, you discover that the apostles had been preaching the good news about Christ, and they had come under severe persecution for that again. And so they're literally driven out of the area, but the believers that remain in the area, what happens to them? Who are continuing to share the message, they're filled with joy. And that relationship between joy and the Holy Spirit is frequently seen in Scripture. Now, I want to just stop here and say, keep in mind where we're going, okay? I want you to understand that all of these works that you've been saying we need and want are all maximized and most fully experienced when we're filled with the Spirit who does these things. Does that make sense? He's able to do what He wants to do when we're in a right position with Him. The Holy Spirit opens and closes doors and gives direction to our life. We read in Acts 16 that Paul at one time and his followers, his men that were going with him, men and women that were traveling, wanted to go one way up around the Asia Minor and go to the east, and the Holy Spirit literally prohibited. He would not allow them to do it. Scripture says that they were forbidden by the Spirit. God sometimes gives very specific directions to His people, individuals, or to His church through His Spirit that gives direction. The Spirit enables believers to speak from God. Acts 19, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Sometimes some believers will receive a gift of speaking in tongues. God says not all believers. But what He does say to believers is that earnestly desire to the greater gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. God allows believers through His Spirit to speak truth into situation. Sometimes we call it preaching. Sometimes God reveals things that are unknown in normal human ways through His Spirit that once they're known, it helps to bring about the end that God desires. And just remember God revealing to me that a woman who was really struggling and had never shared with anyone that in her youth she'd been sexually abused. And I've shared this with you before. I get a call from church secretary. You got to come over here. And this woman is ready. She's a believer. She loves the Lord. She's one of our great prayer warriors. And she's ready to quit and walk away from the church and quit praying and quit reading the Bible. And it's so troubling. What's going on here? And God revealed. God just said, ask her this. And it did, and it opened the door to see healing for her. God can do that. God can give us a word that's necessary in certain situations to bring the healing or the help that he needs to bring. Sometimes God reveals what's to come to prepare us and strengthen us. Paul said that, Paul said at one point in Acts 20, now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. God's Spirit was getting Paul ready for what God knew was coming. And so as Paul traveled through various cities, God's Spirit used different peoples to say, this is what's coming. And it allowed Paul to seek God and to be strengthened and to become prepared spiritually for what was coming. So that the Spirit does that. And God knows what's coming in our lives. So, you know, that's something that I need, something that I want. If God knows what's coming, he may want to strengthen me or direct me in a particular direction in his word or in my prayer life or in seeking counsel or whatever. God's Spirit can and does do that. He also helps us experience God's love for us. Romans 5, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that makes real the love of God the Father and God the Son to us. He activates it. He energizes it, if you will. Because the Spirit as he lives within us is the Spirit of Christ. He makes real that relationship with us. And so how many of you have ever struggled at times in the midst of failure with wondering whether God loves you? Or whether God could be pleased with you, or if he's just disgusted with you. The Holy Spirit is actively engaged in showing us the love of God that he had for us before we ever came to faith in Christ. If you want to know what love is, what is it? That Christ died for us when? While we were yet sinners. If he did that, how much more will he give himself now that we're his children? He's not going to abandon us. So the Holy Spirit helps us understand the love of God. He rescues us from living life under a sense of obligation and from under a sense of condemnation. And he frees us to live from a sense of freedom and from the Spirit's power. Romans 7, but now we've been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that what? Good news. We serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. It's not Gary Nelson saying, here's the law of God. I have to crank up obedience through that. No, I am just to submit myself to God's Spirit and allow the Spirit to live through me, and obedience will come. Not by me trying to work it up, but as the Spirit lives the life of Christ through me. We also read in Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So that why? Why in verse 4? So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God says, look, through my Spirit, here's what the law says. The law says, don't lust. Gary, you struggle with lust at times, with impure thoughts. The Spirit says, look, I can come in and I can change that for you. I can give freedom to you. I can work in your life to bring about purity in thoughts and so on. We've been set free from the law. It's been fulfilled in us as the Spirit works and lives out the life of Christ through us. The Spirit does this. He reorients our minds toward the things of God, which results in an ability to experience real life and peace, and also enables us to live lives that are pleasing to God. Romans 8, we read this too. Those who are according to the flesh, that's still living like the old sin nature, set their minds, they are in the old sin nature, they're not regenerate. Those who are according to the flesh, unsaved, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Who is it that, who are those who are according to the Spirit? Well, it's the born again man who's received the Spirit. Those who are according to the Spirit have their mindset on the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death. We know that. There's no good that comes out of it. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. It doesn't subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh, those who don't know Christ, can't please God. However, you're not in the flesh. But you're in the Spirit if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if you're a believer, the Spirit of God, guess what? Dwells in you. Amen? He assures us, the Spirit assures us of our relationship with God and strengthens us to live with a hope that enables us to persevere even in the difficulties of life. In Romans 8, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. I don't know about you, but I have struggled at times in my life with real feelings of condemnation. Anybody else ever struggled with any of that? I mean, the older I get, the more I realize that I'm capable of almost anything. I can be driving down the freeway, and I mean, God says, you know, don't murder. And I mean, people said, well, the law says don't murder, and I haven't done that. And Christ said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you know, you're guilty of that. I can be driving down the freeway, and somebody cut me off, and I can immediately become very angry. Anybody else? And I know it, and I know it's wrong, and I've grown enough that I don't roll my window down and throw things. But it's still in the heart. And I can drive down the road and see a billboard, and I can find myself taking a little lust trip. And God's Spirit says, what are you doing? But the Spirit of God, I can also live by the Spirit of God. And He can testify that I'm not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember Paul? Paul said, I am. Not I was the chief of sinners. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. And he said, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things I want to do, I don't do. O wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? God looks at us as He looks at His Son. But it's a work of the Spirit that testifies to our spirit, you're mine. You're mine. On your worst day, you're mine. Confess your sin, and God will forgive, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Confess it, get right with me, but you're always my child. You didn't become not a child when you were struggling. The Spirit testifies that we're children of God. What an amazing thing. Romans 8:23, not only that, but we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. How many of you ever grown thinking, boy, this life can get tough. Man, looking forward to going home. Just going home, being with Jesus. Being with our God. But the Spirit, because He's been given to us, we have that taste of what's coming. It's the promise of what's coming. And so it strengthens us to persevere. Okay, I can make it with God's help. And that's my destination. That's my future. The Spirit helps us in our weakness by addressing God's throne in exact accordance with God's will for us. You ever struggle praying? About a situation, I just don't know how to pray about this, even. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. The Spirit says, look, I'll go to bat for you before the throne of God. And when He does, it says He does that with words, groanings too deep for words, and He searches the hearts because... Yeah, and He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. That's the Spirit that's interceding for us because He, that's the Spirit, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. the Spirit will go before the throne of God and pray exactly in accordance with God's will for our life. That's a good person to have on your side, in your corner, right? Keep in mind that our experience of these things parallels the degree to which we're living under the control of that Spirit who does all these things. He helps us in our weakness. Not only enables righteous living, but brings with it an abiding sense of peace and joy. Romans 14, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That follows an argument there of how we should live our lives before God, even when it comes to what we eat and drink. But he says that that's not what the kingdom is ultimately about. It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You want to experience an ability to righteous living and to experience peace and joy that comes as the Holy Spirit is actively engaged in our lives. 1 Thessalonians, you also became imitators as us on the Lord, Paul writes to believers there in Thessalonica. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation. And how did they do it? With the joy of the Holy Spirit. Anybody need more joy? He fills us with hope and joy, as he does so, he enables us to live with great hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your faith, in believing, in other words, so that you will abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody need hope? More hope? He enables us to speak persuasively, not through personal wisdom, but through the very power of God that's manifest through the Spirit. Paul says in Corinthians, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. I didn't come to you having to wow you and having to compel you to believe by my natural abilities. He said, I didn't come in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. How many of you have situations where you need to be able to speak into that situation with authority and power? To be heard. God does that through His Spirit. He enables... Oh, another text. My message and my preaching... Oops, sorry, one more. I meant to say that again. Keep in mind, all of these works of the Spirit are maximized, fully experienced, when we're filled with the Spirit. The Spirit reveals what God has in store for His own and what He's given to us now. Paul says that God has things for us, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered into the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow, those are good things to think about when we're struggling. All that God has prepared, what He has for us, what's coming. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So the Spirit says, look, I look into the depths of God, an infinite God, and I want to reveal to your heart some of the things that God has provided for you, what God has for you. Oh, that's amazing. And it isn't just up there, it's here. Now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. How many of you need to know the things that God has freely given to you because you're in Christ? Not because you're doing really well, but just because you're in Christ. Amazing things. The Spirit enables us to understand something of the very mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have, oh, this is amazing, we have the mind of Christ. We can think about things from a Christological perspective, from the mind of Christ. Now, how does that happen? Now, we've received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. It harks back to what we just read a minute ago, so that we may know the things freely given to us, God. How is it that we have the mind of Christ? Well, we have the mind of Christ because we've received the Spirit of God who lives within us, and that Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Make sense? So we have the mind of Christ. He empowers us to experience God's life lived through us. Don't you know that you're the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwells in you. I often find myself reflecting on this, especially at night, when I'm struggling with thoughts or demands or or things that need to happen or be done that seem overwhelming and beyond me, that there's nowhere where I can go or that you can go where, as a believer, God isn't with you, because God lives in you. He's taken up residence in you. So everywhere you go, God is there with you. Now, in the rush of stuff, in the demands of the day, we often forget that, and we start feeling isolated and alone, and like we're thrown back on our own strength. That's not the case. We have the Almighty God living within us. It's powerful. How is that made real? It's through the Spirit of God, that reality that He lives within us. He equips us with a variety of gifts for a variety of ministries that result in a variety of effective results. There are varieties of gifts, same Spirit, varieties of ministries, same Lord, varieties of effects, but the same, or outcomes, but the same God who works all things in all persons. How is it that all of these are actualized, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good? We can be involved in the building up of the church through the gifts that God has given to us. The Spirit is at work guaranteeing that God will complete in us what He's begun. Now He, 2 Corinthians, He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. I have known Christians who struggle with assurance of salvation. It's the work of the Spirit to make that real, to hammer home that truth. Because His Spirit has been given as a pledge, a down payment, that God says, look, I am going to finish what I've begun in you. He makes us adequate to live out a witness of the goodness and the works of God. We're not adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. God has made us, every Christian, adequate to serve Him. He transforms us to look like Jesus. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actively engaged in my life and your life to transform us so that we look more and more and live more and more like Jesus. That's what He does. That's why we need the fullness of the Spirit, so that that will be the most lived out that it can be. He makes real to us the ability to experience God as our Father. In Galatians, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit makes real to us the fact that I've been adopted into the family of God. And God is my Father now. With all of that means, He frees us from being dominated by our own sinful nature. I say, walk by the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. Anybody struggle with being dominated by some sinful pattern? God can break that through His Spirit. It's the Spirit that bears in us and through us the very fruit that we desire and that we need to live a fulfilled life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, right? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Any of those things anyone need? It comes through the Spirit. Strengthens us from the inside out. So that with the ultimate goal that we can fully experience God's love for us in such a way that it allows us to be filled up to the fullness of God. Paul prays He would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, to do an inner work, so that Christ may really dwell in our hearts through faith, really live, really take up residence. It's akin to John 15, where we are to abide in Christ and allow Christ to abide in us. That real experience, day-to-day experiencing of the closeness of Christ. And that you, being rooted then and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, this is unbelievable, what's the breadth and length and height and depth, all these dimensions, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, Why? That you may be filled up to the fullness of God. That's all the work of the Spirit, allowing us to experience this incredible love of God, so that as it washes over us and through us, it moves us toward being filled up to the fullness of God. He draws us together in spiritual oneness, and we're just about done here. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, we're to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. When I came to Christ in faith, and you came to Christ in faith, we're joined not only to Christ, but to one another. And the enemy is always trying to build walls up between us. But we're one, and we're to work to preserve that bond of peace that the Spirit brings. Paul says to Philippian believers, if there's any encouragement in Christ, and there is, if there's any consolation of love, if love has any impact in your life at all, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, that is the shared life between brothers and sisters in Christ, if there's any affection and compassion, then make my joy complete by being in the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. The Spirit makes possible, even among sinful people who struggle and fail and step on one another's toes and irritate the daylights out of one another sometimes. It's the Spirit that says, but all that's minor compared to what we share in Christ. That's the work of the Spirit. Paul says that Epaphras informed us of your love in the Spirit. The Spirit actualizes that love that overcomes all the differences that we have at times. The Spirit exercises a significant role in guarding within us all that God has entrusted to us. Paul says to young Timothy, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure that's been entrusted to you. God has given you abilities and perspectives and even backgrounds, and some of it is baggage, that God has changed and redeemed, so what was bad has become good, and He has given you an ability to speak into the lives of others in unique ways because you've experienced some similar things. All of those things, and your spiritual gifting, all of those things that are depositories of God's treasure in you, were to guard through the Holy Spirit. The implication is that some of those things, the effectiveness can be lost if we're not walking by the Spirit. He gives assurance of our relationship with Christ. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us. Why? Because He's given us His Spirit. So if these are the things that God does in our lives through His Spirit, then to be filled with His Spirit will maximize our experience of these things. So, what was my goal this morning? Kind of to wow you. Not me, but for you to be wowed at something of the breadth and the depth of what God's Spirit is about. And by the way, for those of you who want to stay for part two, I could share probably another 50 or 60. We won't. This is just a taste. And so the point is, when God says to you and to me, be filled with my Spirit, I have to realize there's a very real possibility that I may be forfeiting things that God wants me to experience because I'm not understanding what it means to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. And so now we're at this place in our study of the Holy Spirit that this is probably the most important thing outside of our salvation and His work to bring us to salvation. This is probably the most important part of it. Learning to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. So how many of you need joy, wisdom, ability to correct, ability to speak powerfully into situation, confidence, boldness? How many need wisdom? How many need an assurance of your salvation? How many need to know that you're an active part and a vital part and a valuable part of building up the body of church? That there's no one that's just kind of over there and not necessary? And I could go on and on and on. All of those things come as the Spirit is allowed to have His way in our lives. In the days to come, messages to come, I want to try to explore with you. How do we position ourselves for that? How do we How do we walk as filled people, filled with the Spirit?